Today's shir is Masechta Ksubas Daf Chaf Dalad. We will begin on Daf Chaf Gimel on the base at the bottom of the Omer at the Mishnah. The Mishnah teaches us V'chein Shnei Anoshim. Two people arrive, and we don't know what is their yichus of the Kohanim, the Yisraelim. Who are they? Zeh Omer, one of these individuals says, Koin Ani, that I am a Koin. V'zeh Omer, and the other individual says, Koin Ani, that I am a valid Koin. Says the Mishnah, Ein in the Monim. We can't trust them to say Eidus about themselves. But says the Mishnah, when they say testimony about each other, then the halacha is Harei El in the Monim. So Rashi explains, there's a machlokes rishonim actually, why when each person says that Koin Ani, the halacha is Ein in the Monim. Tosfos Rit says that the reason they're not Naman is because when it comes to Kahuna, we need to be concerned to be certain that the individual is truly a Kayin. And since we have to be truly concerned that the person is really a Kayin, and he may be saying something which is not true, that's why we don't believe him. In other words, as the Rosh explains, the Rosh says we ought to really believe the person, because this is something that ultimately the truth may or will come out. Still, the halacha is that we don't believe him. Other Rishonim explain that we ought to be able to believe them, because the halacha is that Eid Echad Nem Bisurim. But again, because of the special rules attached to Kahuna, we don't believe the person. The Rambam says in Hilchos Asuri Biya, Perichav Halachiyot Gimel. Misha ba bezman hazeh. If somebody comes bezman hazeh, v'ayim a koyin ani, and he says, I am a koyin, ain't a neman. We don't trust him. V'ayim malon ha'shel kun al piyatzmai. We don't let him be a koyin just based on his own testimony. V'lo yikav a tayrishin. We don't give him the first aliyah. V'lo yisus kapov. We don't let him say brichus kohanim. V'lo yachal b'kotche gvul. Ad shehele eid echad. So Rambam says he needs to have one aid. Avol, says the Rambam, by him saying that he is a Kohen, Oysa Atzim Begrushiv Zayin V'Chalala, he becomes prohibited from marrying any woman that a Kohen may marry, Venim Tam L'Amesim, nor because he claimed that he's a Kohen, may he be Metam himself to Mesim. Once he declared himself a Kohen, he may not be Metam L'Amesim. If he married a woman whom he wasn't supposed to marry, or he became Tamei, Loika. Nevelis law, and if somebody has relations with him, Safek Chalala may be a Chalala. So there are two points that the Rambam is making. That number one, the Rambam is indicating that as far as all Hilchos Kahuna are concerned, an individual who claims he's a Kohen, but he doesn't have Edom to back up that he's a Kohen, the halacha is that we don't accept what he has to say. And the other thing is, that is only as far as halacha that he gets the benefits of Kahuna. But as far as the halacha of not having benefits of the Kahuna, there we're strict and we make him deal with all the dinim of a kohen. The Ramach, however, says that b'zman hazeh, any individual that comes and says he's a kohen, we could allow him to be treated as a kohen. Because even says the Ramach that if b'zman hazeh we're going to treat him as a kohen, there's not really very serious ramifications. There's certainly no ramifications midaraisa. And therefore, we could be more lenient. And the Ramah, actually, in Evener Ezer, Simon Gimel Sif Aleph, paskins like the Ramach. Even though many of the Mefarshim and the Shulchan Aruch ask on the Ramah, as we're going to be learning in our Shir, there's an Isser for a person who is a Yisrael to be Noisi Kapayim. So how can we allow a person who just comes and says by himself that he's a Kohen, there should be Noisa Kapayim? So the Achrayim answer that a person, that the concept that Eid Echad Nem Bisurim is such a strong concept that even if he will be violating, he'll do something that he really ought to not do, the halacha is we could trust it. The only area where the Paiskim say where it's difficult to accept the Psaka, the Ram, of the Ramah, is regarding Pinyan HaBen. If the Kohen, we don't know if the Kohen is truly a Pinyan HaBen, it's truly a Kohen, so when we do Pinyan HaBen, there are two issues. One issue is the giving him the money, which he's perhaps not deserving, and is this child, this individual who is an individual who's a Bechor and is supposed to have a Pinyan HaBen, is it a valid Pinyan HaBen if we don't know for sure that the Kohen with whom the Pinyan HaBen was done is truly a Kohen? And in fact, the Chasam Sofer in the Tshuvas in Yoridei is Simen Reish Tzadik Aleph says that unless we are for certain that this individual is a Kohen, we should not give him, we should not allow him to keep the money of the Pinyan HaBen. And so is the opinion of a number of Achroinim. The Mirajdam disagrees, and he says that even though that we can't be certain who is a Kohen, the halacha is that we should that we do Pinyan HaBen with any Kohen who we believe is a Kohen. And not only do we do Pinyan HaBen with any Kohen who we believe is a Kohen, there is no obligation for a Kohen to return the money if we're not certain that he's a Kohen. Continues the Mishnah. Rav Yehuda Eimer, Eimal Kohun Al Pi Eid Echad. Rav Yehuda is even stricter. And Rav Yehuda's opinion is that we cannot allow a person to be identified as a Kohen just based on the testimony of an Eid Echad. Amar Rav Elazar, says Rav Elazar, Eimasai, when do I hold that we can't rely? When do I agree with Rabbi Yehuda that we cannot rely on the testimony of an Eid Echad to make this person a Kohen? But Makam Sheish Oirim, in a case where there are people claiming that we have a concern, is this individual truly a Kohen? Aval, if it's a situation, but Makam Shein Oirim, there's no reason to question what he's saying. Then the question, those that are saying that he's a Kohen, then the Allah is Ma'al Kun Al Pi'er Echad. We could trust an Eid Echad to identify him as a Kohen. Shimon Ben Gamliel, I'm Shimon Ben Skan, Ma'al Kulan Al Pi'er Echad. We could trust the testimony of an Eid Echad to identify an individual as a Kohen. And the Gemara, of course, will discuss what does Rav Shimon Gamliel mean to say here. In the Mishnayis that we've been learning, we've been discussing over and over again the concept of Pesha Asa Pesha Ita. We had the case where somebody says, Sadazu Shalavicha, where somebody says, this property belonged to your father, Vilakachti Mimenu, and I bought it from him. We had the case of Adam who came and said, Xav Yudain Huza, Avalan Nusim Hayunu, Ktanim Hayunu, Psula Edus Hayunu, on Daf Yud Chesu Mabez. We had the case on Daf Chav Bez on Mabez, where a woman came and said, Eishas Isha Yisi V'grushani. We had on the same Mishnah case of Nishbesi, where a woman comes and says, I was kidnapped, however V'tahirani. We had the case on Daf Chav Gimel on Mabez, where two women who were captured and they said on each other that they're Tahir. And the other case we had is the case where when they say testimony for each other, the halach is we believe them. And of course, the Gemara asked the question, all of these cases worked along the concept of Pesha Asa Pesha Hiter. And the Gemara's question, therefore, is why Kohani Lamali, why was it necessary to bring so many different situations to teach us this concept of Pesha Asa Pesha Hiter? Answers the Gemara Tzrichi. Ditana, if we would have only had the case where somebody says, that this property belonged to your father, and I bought it from him, that Maidir Reb Shimon, Reb Shua agrees that under those circumstances we pay, say Pesh Asa Pesh Hitter, there in that case, if he's only going to say the first part of his phrase, he's going to say and he won't complete this phrase with saying lechtem emenu, he's going to lose the property because he's admitting that this property belonged to this individual's father. And he doesn't have any edim to testify that he bought the property from his father. So it's obvious that when he started the statement that this property belonged to your father, what he meant to say was that that I bought it from him. Because had he not said that, why would he make this kind of a statement? Aval, in a case where the Edom come and say, Ksav Yedenu Hazeh, Aval Nisiyinu, the Lekad Ram Emaynam, the Edom have nothing to lose by saying that we were valid witnesses to this document. And then when they completed their phrase by saying, Anusim Hayinu, whatever, the Lekadra Mana, the Edom, by completing their statement saying, Avalanusim Hayinu, have no personal financial loss. Emeloi, so then we would perhaps say that we don't apply the concept of Pesh Asur. Because when do we apply the concept of Pesh Asur? When we would think only in a case where it was obvious that it was the person who's making the statement to make the statement in its entirety as it was indeed made. But in a case where it's not obvious that that was the intention of the person who made the statement, as I just explained in the case where he said, Ksav Yedenu, where it's not obvious that it was their intention to complete the statement, Avla Nusma Yunu. Maybe there we don't apply the concept of Pesha Asur, since it wasn't obvious that it was their intention to make this entire statement. Vitana Edim, if we only had the case where Edim said, Ksav Yedenuza, Avla Nusma Yunu, that they believe because of Pesha Asur, Pesha Itur, Mishim Dala Alma, when they're saying their testimony, doesn't have any bearing are they themselves. And therefore, we certainly should believe them. Avil iu, in the case where the person says, Sada zeshal avicha haisa, that this property belonged to your father, v'lekachtim mimenu, d'la nafshei, the testimony that he's saying affects him personally. Emeloi, maybe under those case circumstances, we don't accept pesh asa pesh eter. Maybe what the person originally meant to say was Sadazu Shalavicha. All he meant to say was that this property belonged to your father. And then, by saying that statement, by saying that phrase, he realized the repercussions that he's going to lose that property. And then he decided, in order to avoid losing the property, he's going to say V'lekachtim imenu. And therefore, we ought not to believe him. We should not apply the concept of Pesh Asur Pesh Hitter. That's why the Tana had to teach us that in both cases, both of these two first Mishnayos, where we learned the concept of Pesh Asur Pesh Hitter, it makes sense. Continues the Gemara, V'yashmin Hani Tarti, if we only had the two Mishnayos, the Mishnah of Sada Zu Shalavicha, V'lekachtim Imenu, and the Mishnah of Ksav Yedenu Zu, Aval Anusim Hayinu, because in both cases, it's a situation of mammon. The issue that's on the table is financial. Aval, but the case where the woman says, Eishas Ish Hayisi Venis Garashti, Beishas Ishti Surus, and that's a question of Issa Veheter. Therefore, Emeloi, maybe there we don't apply the concept of Pesh Asa Vesha Heter. That's why we had to have a new Mishnah to teach us that we apply this concept even under such circumstances. And the Rishonim give two explanations. One is that we have a rule throughout Shas that we don't learn Hilchas Isser from Hilchas Mammon, and we don't learn Hilchas Mammon from Hilchas Isser. They're two different types of situations. And because they are two different types of situation, that's why one cannot be learned from the other. And since one cannot be learned from the other, we have to have a special halacha to teach us that we do learn it even by Isser. Another pshat is that by Eishes Ish, the issue is we're dealing with a very, very serious issue. Because the issue on the table is an issue of a chiyuv karis. Issue is if she's an Eishes Ish, and she isn't an Eishes Ish, and the repercussions of her living with somebody with whom she may not live, a very serious aveira. Dine Mamnis, and pshat probably is, Dine Mamnis is something that could be returned. Since it's something that could be returned, then we can't learn Isser for Mammon. Says the Gemara now, what about the next example in our Mishnayis, where we've been learning the halachas of Peshas v'Hesheta, the case of Nishbeisi v'Tyrani, when she says, indeed I was kidnapped, but I remained tar lomeli. Why was it necessary? What is new in that case? Answers the Gemara, Mishum de Kabbalah Misna, the safe of that Mishnah Torah, Vim Mishnissus. If based on her testimony, she got married, we accepted her Peshas Pesha Hitter. And after we accept her Peshas Pesha Hitter, we allowed her to get married. And after she's already married, Bar Adam, there were Adam that came that she was kidnapped. So it seems that her Peshas Pesha Hitter is no longer relevant. We know without her Peshas Pesha Hitter that she was captured. Teaches us the Mishnah, Shereza, like to Tetze. Once she got the heter to get married, before the Edom arrived, she could remain married with a new husband. Ask the Gemara that when we learned the Gemara on Daf Chaf Gimel Amud Aleph, we asked when somebody says, when we learned that the din is Mishnissus Bar Edom Leitetze, is it only, is it referring to the case where a woman said, Eish Eish HaYisiv Gerashti, and we learned that if in that case, once we allow her to get married, even though Edom come afterwards and that say we knew anyway she was married, we allow her to remain married. So we explained in the Gemara then, if that's the case, if that's the halacha, in a case where a woman says, Eishes Ish Hayisi V'Nisgarashti, that once we allow her to get married, she's allowed to remain married. Certainly, in the case of Nishbeisi V'Tairani, which the Isser for her to marry a Kohen under those circumstances is much less of a question, because it's only a suffix if she had relations when she was kidnapped. So we had in the Gemara that there was one man, the Amr, that said, Rabbi Bar Oven, said that this halacha, that if Edom come later and they break the Peshas Pesha Hitter, is only in the case of Nishbeisi V'Tayrani that she's allowed to remain remarried. Ella, so that's why there's a new chiddush in that case. That in the case of Nishbeisi v'Tairani, the halacha is she could stay remarried. But ask the Gemara, Elamanda Masan La Reisha, according to Mandama that says that even in the case where she said, Eishes Ish HaYisiv V'Nisgarashti, the halacha is if she got remarried before Edom came and say that she was an Eishes Ish, we allow it to remain remarried. So certainly, as we just said, in the case of Nishbeisi V'Tayrani, that would be the case. That would certainly be the halacha. So Ma'ikel Meima, what is the chiddush in the case in the din of Nishbeisi V'Tayrani that we say Peshas V'Hashetim? Answers the Gemara, B'shem de Kabbala Misni, because we want to learn in the next Mishnah, Shtei Noshim Shenishbu, that when two women were kidnapped and they say about each other that they are Torah, we believe them. And since that represents a chiddush that we're going to identify in a second. So the Mishnah had to introduce this whole concept of Nishbeisi V'Tahirani. So ask the Gemara, V'shei Nashim Shenishbu Lamali, what is the chiddush in the halacha when these two women who were kidnapped together and each one says testimony about the other that they're tar, that what is the chiddush that we believe them, what is the chiddush in that? Answers the Marma Taima Nechesh Lagamlin. We ought to be concerned that each one of these women are saying testimony about the other in order to protect each other. You say that I was Tahar, and I'll say you were Tahar, and like that, we'll be fine. Kamash Malan, that we're not concerned. So then, ask the Gemara Shnei Noshim, but why the next case where two men come and each one says about the other, Kayani, Lomali, what's the Chiddush in that case? Answers the Gemara, The chiddush in that case is b'shem the kabbalah misni, because we wanted to learn the sefer of the mishnah that we began today's shiur with, the machlokes of Yehuda Rabbanon, that if we need, if an eid echad is neman to say a person is a kohen, that's the opinion of the Tanakhama of the Rabbanon. Rabbi Yehuda, as we learned, is not satisfied with that. Tanah Rabbanon. So says the Braisa. Two people arrive, and we don't know exactly what is their yichus. One says, Ani kohen v'chaveri kohen. One says, I am a kohen, and so too is my colleague. Neman, he's trusted regarding the other individual, Achila Truma. We can't let him marry a woman. We have to be concerned that this person may have one of the disqualifications from being allowed to marry a woman. So Rishonim ask that here we're seeing that we need to always be concerned about the status, the yichus status of an individual. We learned the Masechta Yevamos, and we're going to learn the same Masechta Kedushin, that a woman who comes to marry a man doesn't have to check his yichus. Because even in the worst case scenario, that there's something wrong, that she's a kahanis and he has a disqualification, she's still allowed to marry him. The only time we have to make these kind of inquiries is when a man comes to marry a woman, where he has to investigate what her yichus is, because if he's a kohen, there are women that a kohen may not marry. But she doesn't have to check his yichus. And why over here are we being machmer? So says the Bach, that when is there a halacha that we don't need to investigate the yichus of an individual? That's when we know this person. And even though we've never really done a full-fledged investigation about his yichus, if we don't have any question, we could be lenient. But in a situation where we don't know the individual, and the person shows up and we don't know who he is, of course we have to do investigation. Ad, when could we allow him to get married? When we'll have shloisha, we'll have three people. Shnayim idim azeh, and we'll be able to have two edim saying testimony about one individual, and two people saying testimony on the other individual, that we could be certain that they're kohanim. Yudaim af, even if there's one aid, not only can we not rely on him that to be certain that there's a kohen and to marry a woman who a kohen may marry, but we may not allow him to eat truma, until the three people come from Dimna Sayam, Shnai Midmazah, and we have a total of two Edom for each individual. That means everyone's going to say, Ani Koyin, Vishnei Chaveri Kahanim. And like that, we'll have two independent Edom on every Koyin. Says the Gemara Lememra. So this seems to say, the Yehuda, that doesn't allow one aid to say about the other aid. The chayish lekoyimim. He's concerned that there's a deal going on between two people that each one's going to say about the other one that maybe is a koyin. And therefore he have to have two independent individuals on every koyin. Rabbanon, who hold that we could trust one aid to say my colleague is a koyin, and so too vice versa, is not concerned. But ask the Gemara, we learned just the opposite. The Tanan, the Mishnah teaches us, Hachamorim, people who used to sell produce that traveled on their donkeys, that's why they were called Chamorim. They traveled from one place to another place. Shenichnesu l'ir, and they enter a city to sell their produce. V'ama echemem shali chadash, my tvua is new, and therefore, since it's new, it's still moist. And since it's still moist, it's not usable yet. It's not ready to be ground. But my friend's tvua is properly dried and usable to be ground right away. Shali einam asukin. My tvua, I didn't take off the trumas and maestros from yet. But my colleagues is fine. The halacha is, ain't a neman. You can't trust him to say that the other, that his colleague's produce is perfectly fine. And we have to be concerned that they are demai. As we often learn in Shas, that when we're not 100% certain about the status of produce, that produce is considered demai. So here, the person is degrading his own produce, and he's saying that somebody else's produce is good. And we don't trust him because we're concerned, l'gaivim, that they have a deal worked out, that they're going to go from town to town, and in this town, I'm going to say my produce is not good, and your produce is good, and then in the next town, we'll say the other way. And as Rashi explains, the two issues. One issue is because the fact that we see him downgrading his produce and saying that the other person's produce is so good, that's something that's a red flag. And moreover, because he's an Amon Aretz, so an Amon Aretz doesn't have Nemanus. Rabbi Yehuda and Neman, we do trust them. So we see that in this Gemara, unlike in our Gemara, Rabbi Yehuda is not Chayish for Goyimun. Why in our Gemara is he Chayish for Goyimun? And because of this question, Omer of Adbar Havim Mechlefes Hashita. We have to reverse the opinion. And we have to say that he is trusted. Rabbi Yehuda's demand the Omer that's never Chayish for Goyimun, and Rabbanan are Chayish for Goyimun. Abai Omer, Lo'olam Lo'itepach. We don't have to reverse the situation. The reason why Rabbi Yehuda in our Mishnah is Machmer, and here is Mekel, because by Demai, as we said, the entire issue here is an issue of Demai. And since the entire issue is an issue of Demai, we could be more lenient, because Rav Ami Aretz Masmahim, we could rely that most Ami Aretz take off Demai properly, then take off Maisra properly, and therefore, since it's only a minimal chash, we could be lenient and say that we don't have to be concerned as Goyimim. Ask the Gemara, Rabba, Rabbi Yehuda Kasha. We asked the question of Rabbi Yehuda, and we gave an answer. But why are we ignoring the Rabbanan, the Rabbanan Lakasha? The opinion of the Rabbanan are also contradictory. Because in our Mishnah, where we're dealing with an issue of an Issa Deraisa, of Truma, Rabbanan and our Mishnah are not concerned for Goyimlim. So certainly in the case of Demai, which, as we just explained, is only a concern with the Rabbanon should not be concerned for Goyimlim. And here we see just the opposite. By Demai, the Rabbanon are concerned for Goyimlim, and by Truma, they're not. Ella, says the Gemara, the way we have to explain, is Rabbi Yehuda like Kasha. The way to explain the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda is that we, Kshaninen, the Rabbanon Rabbanon like Kasha, how do we resolve the opinion of the Rabbanon? Kramer of Chama Bar Ukva, the utensils, the equipment that person uses to sell produce is biyadoi, is with him when he's selling. Hachnami, we're talking here b'shklei amnasoi, that he's bringing along what he uses to sell biyadoi. So if somebody is bringing something along to show, to sell, why would he degrade his product? Here we see that he's anxious to sell it. And here we see that he's degrading his product. It must be because it's a situation of Goyimlim. But when we don't have that such concern, when we don't see that the person has, that there's something suspicious here, then the Rabbanon are not Chayish for Goyimlim. Ask the Gemara, V'heichid Itmed Rab Chama Ba'akva, where have we learned this concept? Then when there's something that leads us to be suspicious, that loch is differently. The Ha'ahad Tanan, the Mishnah Masechta Taharis, Perek Zayin, Mishnah Aleph teaches us. Hakador, where you have an individual whose job is to make pottery and sell them. And he's a chaver. Sheneich Kadaraisov, he left his pots out on the street, V'yard Lishtais, and he went in to take a drink of water. And while he's going in to take the drink of water, there is no one watching those pots. And since there's no one watching the pots, we need to be concerned that maybe somebody tamei touched them. So the halacha is, hapnimius, the pots that are more towards inside, they're not towards the place where so many people walk by Tahiris. There's no reason for people to touch them. They're not really very accessible to the people who are passing by. However, Achitzonis, the ones that are towards the outside, which are very accessible to people walking by, and the people who are walking by may be Tamei, the halachas, the Tameis. But ask the Gemara Tanya, but there's a different braisa that says, Elu ve'elu, both the pots that are towards the inside and the pots that are not towards the inside are Tameis. So how do we reconcile the status of the inner pots? Of the answers the Gemara. That's where Rabbi Muhammad Baruch taught us, Kishlei Amnosu B'yodai. When he's showing that he has the equipment that he wants to sell. Then, if he shows that he's anxious to sell all the pots, that's a proof that he wants to sell them. And since he wants to sell all them, then Neyad Kol Mashamsus Bem, so all sorts of people pick up all sorts of pots. And since they pick up all sorts of pots, we need to be concerned that somebody who picked it up was Tamei and made those pots Tamei. Ask the Gemara, V'tanya, but yet there's a third braisa that teaches us, Elu ve'elu, all of the pots, both the pots towards the inside and the pots towards the outside, are all tahiris. So we have three mishnayos and braisas that have very different opinions. One braisa says that both inside and outside pots are tahor. One braisa says both inside and outside pots are tamei. And one braisa differentiates between the inside and the outside. Answers the Gemara, Amram Bechama, when are all the pots tahor? Since it's not obvious that he wants to sell them, people don't touch them. But ask the Gemara of Ahad Tanan, but we quoted the Mishnah Masechta Taharis that said, Apnimius Tahiris Achitzonis Tameis, Hechem Ishkachsla. What's going to be the case? We said that there's a difference. And he was saying, if you want to sell them, they're all Tamei. And if you don't want to sell them, they're all Tamei. Answers the Gemara, the Smichel Shus Arabim, the person put them, the seller put them near the Rishus Arabim, Shim Chafufi Rishus Arabim. Since people often, when they walk by the Rishus Rabbim, and the Rishus Rabbim sometimes is crowded, that's why he put, and there's a side of that area, and that's a place where people, even if they don't see that the pots are up for sale, but they walk there and they touch things there, that's why it's Tamei. The Gemara now goes back to give a different explanation between the Machloikus of Yehudan and Rabbanan, and by giving a different explanation in the Machloikus of Yehudan and Rabbanan, we also will be able to reconcile the opinion, the seemingly contradictory opinions of Rabbi Yehuda between his opinion in the Mishnah and his opinion in the Braisa. The question is, if Bezdin allows somebody to eat Truma, will that be an indication that his Yichus is fine? Because people will say that since he's eating Truma, it's a proof that he's a full-fledged Kohen, and they're going to treat him as a full-fledged Kohen. Rabbi Yehuda is of the opinion, Malam Truma Yuchsin. And that's why he's Machmer. If we're going to allow him to eat Truma, we're going to allow him, perhaps he may end up marrying a woman that he's not allowed to marry. And therefore, Rabbi Yehuda says, Rabbi Yehuda is not concerned for Goimlin. As we saw, that is his opinion, but a case of the Chamorin, that he's not concerned for Goimlin. But by Truma, there's a different reason that he's concerned. And that is because he's concerned that Malam Truma Liyachsin, we may come to be Mal Truma Liyachsin. So I saw a beautiful vart from the Beis Yisrael. The Beis Yisrael says that the first Mishnah in Shas discusses Meimusakarin Hashma Ba'arvin, Mishor Shekanim Nichnasin Lechel B'Trumasin, that the time the Krishma begins is from when the Kayan come to eat Truma. And the question is, why did the Mishnah have to teach us this halacha, connecting it Kaharim Nichnasin Lechel B'Trumasin? Here teaches us the Beis Yisrael, as we're going to learn, that Kohanim eat Truma privately. And therefore, since Kohanim eat Truma privately, we don't exactly know when they eat it. Ibailu, If a person was signed in a shtar, and in the shtar, a person was signed in a shtar, and in the shtar it says that this person is a kohen, can we rely on the wording of a shtar? Says the Gemara Hechidam, exactly what is the case. Ilam the kosup, ani ploini chasamti aid, I the kohen am signed in an aid, makamasarale. If the person is a witness to the shtar, that doesn't make the shtar that what he's saying is true. The witnesses say what's said in the shtar is true, but the shtar doesn't speak about the witnesses. Loi, what loi tzricha, the ksibe ani kloin levisa mana meploini. The shtar says that I, the kohen, borrowed money. The chasim masadi, and now they are witness signed to that shtar. Mai, do we say a monish b'shtar kamasadi? What the Edom are coming to say testimony to is to the transaction that's recorded in the shtar. But they're not looking to say edus about the yichus of the individuals who are part of this transaction. Adama, a kolam al-sukamad sadi, that we could say that they're saying testimony on everything that it says in the shtar. Says the Gemara, it's a machloikish. Rav Huna, Rav Chizda, Charam Amalin, the fact that something is stated in a shtar is a proof that it's true. The Edom would not have signed the shtar unless they knew that everything that says in the shtar is accurate. And one says that we can't rely on the shtar. The Truma Sedeshin says that he quotes a Rav Yekel from Vienna. Rav Yekel from Vienna said that our Gemara is the basis for a very important halacha in how a get should be written. He wrote that when one writes a get, and we write the husband's name, you have to be careful to write the yichus of the kohen, and if the yichus of that individual. And if the yichus is not mentioned properly in the get is disqualified get. And the Ramah, in Evan Ezer, Simen Kuf Chav Tes, Siv Zayin, quotes this Truma Sedeshin that writes, when you write the name of the husband in a get, that the halacha, you have to write what he is, if he's a kohen or he's a levi. But the remark concludes, v'nira lismach l'hokl v'mokm v'tchak, b'shas atchak, if it was omitted, we're not going to disqualify the get. Avel chatchila, says the remark, yesh l'kosfai. The Beis Yosef says that that's not true. He says that our Gemara indeed has a discussion of Mal Mishtaris L'Yachsin. But that doesn't mean if we have to definitely write that the husband was a Kohen or a Levi, and that if you didn't write it, the get may be disqualified. What the Gemara meant to say was, says the Beis Yosef, that if it's written in the shtar, in the get, that this individual was a Kohen, that this individual was a Levi, we could rely on that. A Shmuel paskins like the Machmirim, that a get that doesn't have the proper yichs of the husband is disqualified. The Taz is lenient. So the Ranach says, what is the proof to this discussion? Says the Ranach that if we have two individuals who have the exact same name, and they both divorced their wives, we have to be concerned that how will we know who was the husband and who was the wife? By writing that this one is a kohen and this one is not a kohen, that is the way to make sure that we know who is and who isn't. But it's interesting that some of the poskim say that as far as a kohen, that's a yichus that makes a difference. Even bezman hazeh, kohen gets the first aliyah, etc. So since the name of a kohen in our sugya is so important, so that's why explain some of the achroinim, the Yad Yehuda, that if the kohen, if the person's a kohen and it's not written in the shtar, it has very serious repercussions. But he explains the levi, particularly bizman hazeh, being a levi is not so significant. And therefore, if the person was a levi and that was omitted, that doesn't disqualify the get. If we saw somebody doing the Nesias Kapayim, doing Berchus Kahanim, is that a proof that he's a full-fledged kohen?
Says the Gemara, Tabayla Mandam Amal Matrum Liyuchsin. It's a question according to the Mandam that says that based on Truma we could determine if you're a Kayin. But Tabayla Mandam Amalin. Tabayla Mandam Amalin, Hani Mili Truma. When do we say that if a person's eating Truma, it's a proof that he's a Kayin? Davai Misa. We know if Yisrael, Rahman Slan, eats Truma, he's Chayiv Misa B'day Shemayim. So therefore, that the fact that he's eating truma is very much a proof that he's a kohen. Avol, nesias kapayim, but when we speak about the nesias kapayim, this essay, it's only an isra essay, that isn't the proof that he's a kohen. Adam aloshna, the fact that, just like the fact that he's saying brichas kohanim is a proof that he's a kohen. Tebayla mandama emalim, that truma doesn't prove that you're a full-fledged kohen. Hani mili truma, as we just said, the b'sachle b'tzina. And that's why, as we said, the first Mishnah in Shas had to teach us when the time Kohanim eat Truma, because it's something that's not done publicly, and people don't know. Avon Sis Kapayim de Feresia, Sis Kapayim is done publicly in Shul. E Lav Shkoinhu, if this wasn't, an individual wasn't a Kohen, Kula Hailai Machsev Inish Nafshi, a person would not have the Chutzpah to do Sis Kapayim if he weren't a Kohen. Adama, Loishna, and the halacha is that just like a person, we can't bring a rai from truma, we can't bring a rai from the nesias kapayim. It says the Gemara to machlokes. Rav Chisda Ravina, Chana Mamalin, one man the Amma says that we are, the nesias kapayim could prove that he's a kohen, for Chana Mamalin. Amla Rav Nachman Yitzchak Rava, Ma'ala lahalas nesias kapayim liyuchsin. Can we say the fact that somebody did Brichas Kohanim is an indication that he's a Kohen? Amalei, so he said, Plukta Rav Chisda Ravina, that we just learned that that's a Machlokes of Chisda Ravina. So he asked, Hilchos Samai, what is the Halacha? Amalei, so Rav said to Rav Nachman Yitzchak, Ana Masnisi Adana. I know what I learned in a Braisa. The Tanya, Rav Yosi Yemi Gedoyle Chazaka. Chazaka is very strong. And as long as there are no Edim that break the chazaka, we rely on the chazaka. Because the pasuk teaches us, when Klal Yisrael came back to Yisrael after the Churban Bayis Rishon, when they were going to build the second base of Mikdash, and everybody presented their yichus documents to prove who they were. Because in Golus, during that time that they were in Golus, there was much intermarriage, and the halacha is that if a kohen marries a non-Jewish woman, the child is a chalal, and he can't serve as a kohen. And the pasuk says, "Shenema b'nei kahanim, b'nei chevya, b'nei akoitz, b'nei berzilai, asher lokach b'mnois berzilai agiladi leisha v'yikrol shmam." He took a wife from berzilai agiladi, and therefore the children were called on that family's name. They were looking for yichus documents to prove they were kahanim, and they weren't able to present them via galum and a kahuna. Because they couldn't present such documentation, they were disqualified. Hatereshta is Nechemya. And the Gemara explains, says Rashi, that why was he called Hatereshta? Because he allowed the chachamim to drink the yayin nesach of the akum. He was the Sar HaMashkim of Melech Kairish, and he was allowed to drink that wine because they suspected, otherwise they would have accused him that he poisoned the wine. They may not eat from Kachay Kachim at Amoin Kohen Le'urim V'tumim until the Kohen wearing the Urim V'tumim will come to be able to say definitively that they are Kohanim. Amalehem, but he told them, Hare atem b'chaskeskem. You are in the chazaka. Whatever your status was previously remains. B'ma yisim oichlam b'goyla. Whatever you ate in bavel b'kotche egvul. Truma that could be eaten outside. Af kan now in Yisrael. You could continue eating truma. But kotche kotchim. Kabonis from the mizbeach. That you did not eat in the golus. You can't eat now. Until you bring raya that you are kohanim. So what do we see from here? V'isal kedatach. If we're going to make the point, says the Gemara, the malam nesias kapayim liyuchsin, that a person who does nesias kapayim, it's a proof that he's a kohen. So these individuals, certainly in the Goyla, did the Nesias Kapayim. So Kivin the Pas Yudaya, Oslach Sukayu, they will become Kahanim. Answers the Gemara, Shani Hosom the Reich Askayu. The fact, even though normally, the fact that somebody is Nesias Kapayim is a proof that he's a Kayin, here, it's going to not be that case. Because that the fact that they're not eating kachim mizbeach and all the other kahanim were, that will prevent us from thinking that they're full-fledged kahanim. Dilai tei mahocha, the man dam amal mitruma liyachsin, kivin teachli mitruma, osla sakuna. How do we allow them to eat truma? Should we not be concerned that maybe we're going to treat them as full-fledged kahanim? El lav. We have to say, we're not concerned, Mishum Dereya Chaskayu. The fact that we don't let them eat kachim is a proof that we still have a question.